have Julie is coming to preach to us this morning, and she's going to teach us, and she's going to preach to us, and she's going to bless us, and we just want to pray for her. Father, we just ask that you pour into her everything that you wanted her to say today, to bless us, to teach us, to bring us closer to you. Lord, we know that she hears from you, we know that she loves you, and we know that she loves us. So bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. It was wonderful worship this morning, wasn't it? It was great to hear some of those old songs because they've got such amazing words in them. That was so nice. A lot of the things I want to talk about today, actually, some of those verses have been spoken already this morning, so I love confirmation. But I'm going to be speaking about a love that we can't compare. So the first question has to be, who do we think of when we think of love? Obviously, we think of our family. We love our family. But we worship a living God, the only living God. He's omnipotent. In other words, he's majestic, all-powerful, invincible. He cast out rebellious angels. He is above everything and everybody. He's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere and he's ever-present. He's the creator of everything. There is no one or nothing greater. But he's also the God of infinite love, compassionate, full of mercy. He wants to love us and he wants us to love him and know him. Ephesians 3:18 says, "May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is." Jonah describes him as being gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Romans 5:8, we're going to have lots of verses today, so hold on. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to repent. Jesus died for us on a cross, paid the full price for our salvation, and offers that salvation as a gift before we even knew he existed, before we were even born. It's almost like getting the prize before you run the race. Yeah. It can be upsetting, can't it, to know people have a view of God as being harsh and judgmental, because it's so not true. He is a God of love. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God gave his Son. That's love. I can't even imagine giving my child, one of my kids. God gave his own Son. He loves us that much. He wants to restore that relationship with him. But he's not some mate up the road who we go down the pub with, who we can just be, or who can ignore our sin. He is holy, and he can't look upon our sin. And that was the dilemma. In the old times, we were told they offered a blood sacrifice. Yeah, it could have been a lamb, it could have been many other things, as an atonement for sin. But it was temporary. But he loves everyone. So he made a permanent way. You've heard all this before, but it is really important because this is how much God loves us. He made a permanent way to redeem us from that sin and cleanse us. He offered the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus, the Lamb of God, so that we can have that relationship restored. That is a God of love. That is a God who loves us so much that he would give part of himself to come into this world with sinners, live as flesh, die on a cross, go to hell, pay the price for our sins, and then rise again. And then not leave us as orphans, but also send his Holy Spirit. That is a love beyond comprehension. He loves us regardless of if we know him. He loved each of us before we ever knew him. I didn't grow up a Christian. I didn't know about God. The first time I prayed, I was 15 and my dog died. And I thought, That I loved my dog. I'd grown up with him. And I prayed for the first time, you know, I hope he goes to heaven. That was all I knew. I know it's a bit sad, but only this week I heard a story of a woman who as a girl felt so rejected from those around her that she became bulimic. She would hide in the toilets at lunchtime at schools in shame, but this fed a disorder, an eating disorder. It took root and she began to feel unlovable. Years later, during a healing session, she had a vision of Jesus waiting outside the toilet doors. He wasn't demanding entry. He didn't come in without being invited. He just waited patiently in love. Seeing that vision impacted her so much, she said yes to Jesus. She invited him in. And guess what? He came and sat on the floor with her in those toilets. That's a God of love. She was so overwhelmed, not condemned, not in shame, but in the realization there's a God of creation who loved her so much, he had nowhere better than he would rather be than on a toilet floor next to her while she was crying. In that moment, her whole image of God changed. The rejection she'd felt for so many years began to disappear. Here was a God who was willing to go wherever, whenever he was needed, just to show his love for her. It's such a powerful story, isn't it? You see, John 1:4-19 says, "We loved because he first loved us." That was him showing that girl that he loved her. Jesus says in John 15:9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And we've heard about joy this morning. "As my command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And that's really important. And we've heard about anger, haven't we, this morning? Matthew 10:8 says, "Freely you have received, so freely give." He gives us that love. He gives us that ability to love others, even when we're not feeling it. The Apostle Paul makes a huge point of explaining how important that is in 1 Corinthians 13:1. He says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." We've heard a lot of this particularly recently, as Mary was talking about this morning, with a young man who was assassinated just because of his belief. That is evil. It, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we only see as a reflection in the mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." When we love, it can cover a multitude of sins. It conquers everything. When everything else fails, love remains. A teacher of the law once asked Jesus, "Which is the most important commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater love than these." He also said in Luke 6, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But if you love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you won't be judged." That's a big one, isn't it? "Do not condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure which you use will be measured to you." We can learn to be like Jesus. Some of those things are quite hard, aren't they? But we can learn. We're not left alone. We have Holy Spirit in us who will help us. We can love those who come against us. And we actually get a blessing pressed down and running over when we do. It's quite amazing, isn't it? Jesus tells us a story in Matthew. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlements, a debtor owing 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since the man was unable to pay, the master ordered that he be sold to pay his debt along with his wife and children and everything he owned. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Have patience with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay everything.' The master had compassion on him and forgave his debt and released him. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 denarii. He grabbed him, began to choke him, and said, 'Pay back what you owe me.' This fellow servant also fell down and begged him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went, had the man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. When the fellow servants saw this, they went to the master, greatly distressed, and they recounted everything that they had heard. The master summoned him back. 'You wicked servant, I forgave all of your debt, and you begged me, because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." When we hear it like that, it's quite shocking, isn't it? It's quite clear. We are loved, and we have to forgive as well. It's so important to show others the love of Christ that he has shown us. Because let's be honest, once we have experienced the love of Christ, don't we want to be more like him? Don't we want to share it? Don't we want other people to know that? We're never the same once we've been loved by Christ. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And I'm going to jump down a bit. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once we have received that love, we are held in his hands. He will not let us go. Even when we mess up, he will not let us go. Even if we reject him, he will still love us. He still accepts us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We belong to him. And isn't it worth showing other people that? so that they can feel that same freedom from chains, from addictions, from hate, from anything. But to know that you are forgiven for everything you do and that there's a God who loves you, isn't that wonderful? Jesus said in John 13, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And we know that's not always easy, but we do have a helper, the Holy Spirit, as we've said. So, if you're wondering, okay, where do I start? Okay, who do you need to forgive? Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see that you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" Unfortunately, there's a different part that follows. "Then he said to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' And they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you thirsty or hungry or a stranger or needed clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' And he will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." It's quite powerful, isn't it? But you see, Jesus shows us how to love. We have no excuse because we've been loved. We've been filled with his Holy Spirit. We've been filled with his compassion, his mercy. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in here who hasn't done something and knows that they've done something. I'll hold my hands up to that one. But we've been forgiven. There are times when I see people and I get so mad, so angry. And then I think, I'm so sorry, God, because actually you forgave me for much worse, so I forgive them. That's my help when things like that happen. Jesus is our example. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. John 1 says, "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of blood, nor desire, or will of man, but born of God." We were loved before we were born. Our debt was paid for before we were born. And all we're asked to do is accept the Lord and simply share that love with everybody else. There is no love that can compare with the love of God. As a mother, I know what it's like to love my children. I know what it's like to love my husband. How he puts up with me, I don't know, but I know what it's like. But I cannot compare, I cannot even understand the love of Christ, who came to earth and walked among us in the flesh, rather than God Almighty up on in heaven on a throne, came to earth, lived with us, among us, died on a cross for us, to pay for those sins so we can have that relationship with God. That is a love that I'm still trying to comprehend. It is such a deep love. But we've got a lifetime to learn it. So this morning, I'd like to bring us back to a place of thankfulness to a God who loves us, to a God who forgave us. And then let's forgive those who we hold some unforgiveness too. Because actually, they may not even know that you don't forgive them. We're the ones who are hurting. We're the ones who allow that unforgiveness and that bitterness to grow in our souls if we leave it there. So even if we don't feel it, if you can say with your mouth, I forgive them, Lord, and then ask Holy Spirit to do the rest, and he will. And we can remind ourselves that there's a God who loves us more than we could ever understand. One day we'll get up there and we'll see him face to face. But until then, we've got the Word of God to guide us. We can pray to him. We've got the Holy Spirit in us to guide us, to show us, to help us. Yeah? So Lord, I just pray this morning that anybody here who's still, or anyone on camera, Lord, who still has that seed of unforgiveness where they've been hurt so badly, Lord, I just thank you that you are our helper. We've not been left as orphans. We've not been left alone. You love them, Lord, with all your heart, but you also love that person that we haven't forgiven. So, Father, I just pray your blessing and your favor, your help, your guidance, your comfort, your compassion and your mercy, that we may also overflow with those things to others around us. Amen. We're going to worship a little bit on another song. And if you have something in your heart that you know you need to let go of, we're going to spend that time just allowing you to do that.